WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to the second hour of Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with my associate pastor, Pastor Jim, who we fondly call PJ.
Hey.
Yeah. And we got several people on our radio team, some from our church here and some from my former church up in Indiana at Cornerstone Ministries. And so we are, of course, reacting to the massacre of 50 people plus last night in Orlando, Florida, near us. We've already commented on that. We're not going to go back over that, but you can hear our comments. As I said a minute ago, this show will be heard again Saturday and Sunday, played again on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, 10 a.m. Eastern, if you missed the first hour. We're talking about walking in the peace of God. We've been in a series about making the right decision when we get to the forks of in our life. Pastor Jim, you want to amplify on that just a tiny bit and, you know, just talk about those forks because we all have them.
Well, yeah, every day we are faced with choices.
I mean,
you know, do I want to go to work? Do I want to stay in bed?
Right.
Do I want to read my Bible? Do I want to go watch television? Do I want to walk with God? Do I want to not walk with God?
Right.
I mean, every day we're faced with all those choices, and the whole point of the series is kind of training us, I think.
Yes. Yes.
To make better choices.
Better
to
choices.
Make the right choice. And sometimes the choices are really obvious.
Yes. Sometimes they're not.
Sometimes you know that's going to be a sinful choice and that, you know, you really need to go do this other thing. Sometimes it's maybe not so clear.
Right.
And, you know, those are the times when you need to trust in the Word. You need
yes.
to trust in God, trust in the peace.
Exactly.
Because not everything is going to be black and white.
Well, in Colossians 3:15, we've read that many times in the Amplified Bible. Again, one of my favorite verses. Do you have Amplified with you today?
I can have it in about 3 seconds.
On your phone. All right. We're going to hear Colossians 3:15, and then we're going to go to Isaiah 55 in just a few moments. So if you just joined us, we encourage you to get in the Word, and we also encourage you, we invite you to visit our website, which is www.bohmglobal.com. You can learn a lot about us, but you can also hear hundreds of our radio shows. This is our 10th year on the air on Sunday afternoon on this station, faithfully every single week in our 10th year. So we have hundreds of shows, over 400 shows on the air, on our website that are available for you to listen to, and we encourage you to do that. So Pastor Jim is going to read Colossians 3:15 in the Amplified Bible translation, which does exactly what it says. It amplifies it.
Yes, it does.
Go ahead.
Hang on.
Okay.
All right. I'm almost there.
I love this verse. It really talks about what peace really does.
It is really good. And.
Yeah.
I had to remember which one of my Bible apps had amplified
in it. Okay.
Okay. So Colossians 3:15 in the Amplified version. Yeah, believe it or not, I brought the King James today.
Wow.
Okay. And the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were called to live, and to be thankful, appreciative,
Amen.
Giving praise to God always.
Right. So when we let that umpire, the Holy Spirit, settle those questions we have in life, should I do this or should I do that? Peace is used by the Holy Spirit, and lack of peace is used when we're feeling very unsettled in our gut and we don't know what we should do about something. First of all, probably stop and don't just make a hasty decision.
Mm-hmm.
Stop, rest, talk to God, wait on the Lord, ask for confirmations. There's lots of things in hearing from God that we need to do. And one of the most important things is really involving the Word of God. So we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 55 and bring in some verses, starting in about verse 6 in just a moment. And in the meantime, we are going to do another song. And this one is an older song, but also one of my favorites. I don't know how you pronounce this lady's last name. It's Darlene something or other.
Zinch.
All right. The Potter's Hand. The Potter is working on each of us, if we allow him to do that.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your
God. Take me, fill me, use me, mold me, make me into the person you want me to be, God. I want to be molded by your potter. You're the potter. I just want you to work in me. That's my desire. I know that's yours, PJ. And I know that so often we get caught up in the everything going on in our lives and the busyness and even things like have happened in the last few hours, the tragedies around us. And we kind of get off center sometimes and forget to say, Lord, that's what I want. I want you to really change me and cause me to be what you want me to be. Verse 6 of Isaiah 55 starts out, seek God while he's here to be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. This is in the Message Bible. Let the wicked abandon their way of life. Amen. And the evil, their way of thinking. Praise God. That's our prayer. Let the evil and the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil, their way of thinking. Let them come back to God, who is merciful. Come back to our God, who is lavish with forgiveness. Do you want to talk on those two verses, PJ?
That is so good.
I love those verses.
I love those verses.
I've just been living in these few verses the last couple of days. That just, ugh.
I think one thing with verse 6 is that there's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to seek him anymore.
Right.
You know.
While he may be found. Right.
Right. I mean, Isaiah was prophesying about the destruction of Judah. But, you know, it's the same thing. God says, seek me.
Yeah.
And the thing right there is seek, okay? Look for it.
Look for it.
And he will be found. He says elsewhere, if you seek me,
you'll find me.
When you search for me with all your heart.
Amen.
And God
puts that. Pursuing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Seek peace and pursue it. This is an all-out effort when you're seeking God, right?
And the amazing thing is God gives us the desire to seek him.
Amen.
Even when we don't even want to be seeking him. You know? I'm quite serious. I mean,
you're right about that.
In my own
life. That's why I'm laughing. You're right.
But yeah, when I went to school to Ball State University.
Where I went to.
Yes. Where you also went, although we were separated by a few years.
Yes.
My pastor of the little Methodist church I went to pulled me aside and told me, you know, you really need to get involved with Campus Crusade for Christ. That, you know, and he did it out of concern. I thought
sure.
He was like just an old crackpot.
Yeah.
But a couple of things, and I know you've heard me. I think some of our listeners probably have too. Before I left to go to school, I had to have a Bible.
Right.
I wasn't even saved. I'd already preached a sermon in church, by the way. Not
wow.
even saved.
Wow.
Yeah. I had a calling. I just didn't know what to do with it at that
right,
point.
Right, sure.
But I had to have a Bible. So
wow.
I went out and bought a Living Bible. That's when the Living Bible
was
very
popular. Yeah.
Back in the early 70s. That's 1970s.
right.
But I mean, I had to have a Bible.
Yeah.
Now, I, of course, had no intention of getting involved with Campus Crusade for Christ. Didn't want anything to do. Oh, please, I'm a freshman in college. You think I want to go around with a bunch of fanatics?
Right.
All right. Well, one of the higher-ups in that organization lived one floor below me, was leading a Bible study on my floor.
Right.
So, you know, what was it? A month and a half later, I got saved.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
But I mean, but there were other times when I wanted to run from God.
Right.
And I mean, I gave everything up, but I still had to keep a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything else was gone except my wide margin New American Standard Bible, which
right.
I still have. That thing is 40
yeah.
years old.
I
now.
Have one too.
But I, you know, something would not let me get rid of it. And as much as I tried to run from God in those
yes,
days,
yes,
he kept
pulling you back,
me back,
didn't he?
And
it's that inner knowing that you need God, that, you know, you can't do this thing by yourself.
I can't. And, you know, it's knowledge. And I mean this kind of frivolously, but knowledge can be a curse.
Yes.
Because I knew God.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't going to, you know, we can walk away from him, but he's never going to walk away from us. He's always going to be there tugging, which he did. And that's what this is saying here. Seek the Lord. Go after him while he may be found. And call upon him while he is near.
Right.
Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's talking
turn
about
around.
Repentance. That's talking about repentance.
Turn around,
let
go the other way.
Let him return to the Lord.
Yes.
Go the other direction.
Yes.
And this is the promise. He will have mercy.
Oh, amen.
On you. He will not just pardon you a little bit.
Right.
He will abundantly pardon.
Yes, yes.
What a promise. And why do people keep... I don't understand sometimes. I mean, and I have friends on Facebook who are running like crazy.
From God.
From God. I think of that really old Randy Stonehill song. most of our listeners are not even going to know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
He had an old song back in the late 70s called Keep Me Running.
Oh, wow.
Keep me running, keep me moving, keep me numb from head to toe.
Whoa.
And, you know, he's talking about people running from God.
Exactly.
And that's what so many people do.
They do. Oh, my gosh, yes.
They'll turn to false religion. They'll turn to this or that, whatever, to keep from encountering God. And let me tell, just from somebody who's been doing this now for 43 years, I mean, I can look back and I would not trade my walk with Jesus.
Oh, it's wonderful.
43, I can't believe it's been 43 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, there have been times when I walked away, but he always drew me back.
Yeah, amen.
There are times when I sin. I mean, we all sin daily, but he will abundantly pardon.
I love that. Come and, back to your God who is lavish with forgiveness, it says in the Message Bible.
Yeah.
He's full of forgiveness. No. And, but you know, it's so interesting that so many people do continue to run because they're afraid that they're going to have to give up this or give up that. And the Holy Spirit that comes and lives on the inside of us when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he deals with our junk one step at a time, doesn't bowl you over and criticize and condemn you and make you feel like a half an inch tall.
Right. Now that you're saved, you got to start wearing long sleeve white shirts and a black tie and black pants.
That's just so not biblical.
You know, ladies, once you get saved, of course, you know you got to let your hair grow.
Yeah, and you can't wear pants or shorts.
Right.
None of that's true. That's not in the Word.
Right. That's not in the Word at all. But it is that kind of that step by step sort of thing. We're going to get to that, I see, in our final song.
Yes.
But that's where the, you know, the change occurs. And, and he changes your, as you get in the Word and walk with the Spirit, he changes, your will begins to change over into his will.
He changes us so much that it's a matter of us, our desires change, the things we want to do, the people we want to hang out with, don't you think?
Yes.
That all changes,
that
maybe
all
gradually,
changes.
But it does change.
And, you know, yeah, he may ask you to give up a few things eventually down the road. But he's going to show you why.
Yes.
You're going to know why he wants you to do that.
Right.
You know, and he does it for love. He doesn't do it to punish.
No.
Or to.
Because he loves us.
He does it because he loves it. He wants the best for us. God doesn't want you to be in misery.
Right.
And I say that knowing, I mean, going back, you know, what's happened today and all that. He doesn't want us in misery.
No, he doesn't.
He's there with us to get us through that.
Yes.
You know, he promised us the abundant life, overflowing life. And that's not talking about material stuff or whatever. It's talking about a quality of life.
It is.
Inside of us that overcomes, as we quoted before, that overcomes the world.
Yes.
Overcomes whatever the world throws at us because he loves us.
Yes. And because he loves us, he gives us insights and new revelation about why those things maybe weren't good for us.
Right. Well,
and how we can be better people, you know?
Right. Well, and, you know, the next couple of verses
go ahead.
In Isaiah.
Go ahead. Verse 8.
Yeah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, duh.
Right.
Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord.
Right.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than your thoughts.
Wow.
That kind of goes without saying, but I think it's always a good reminder.
It is.
That
Isaiah 55, verse 11 or 8, 9, something like that.
8 and 9, yeah.
8 and 9.
And it's a good reminder. You know, God sees from an eternal perspective.
He certainly does.
We see from a temporal.
We do.
We tend to see from a experiential perspective. Our mind, our will, and our emotions are kind of running the show. But God sees from an eternal and a spiritual perspective.
Ooh. He sees what he's making us to be.
Yes, yes.
You know, and he
sees the end product.
Right. He looks beyond our faults. That's old song. Looks beyond our faults and I can't remember the rest of the phrase.
And saw my fear.
And, you know, and honestly, when we allow the Holy Spirit to do this work in us and realize that his ways in us we could never figure them out. I mean, we sit back, we wonder, oh, God, how did that get worked out like that? When we turn our lives over to him and say, okay, God, I admit it. I'm walking around in restlessness or fear or anger or hatred or whatever it might be, or unforgiveness. And God, I can't fix it on my own. And you seek peace and you pursue it. God, I want your peace more than anything else. I don't want to live in all of this crapola. I want to be so full of you that people see that there's something different about me, that I've changed, you know?
Well, and that's seeking, I mean, you know, his thoughts.
Yes.
His ways. They're in the Bible.
Yes.
You know, you want to
right
you want to get to know God and his ways, what he thinks, what his ways are. They're in the Bible. And there's no other place to get that.
And if you want to know what decisions to make when you get to those forks in life, you've got to be spending time in the Word so that you hear correctly
right.
from God. We cannot begin to emphasize that enough.
Well, and so many people, you know, we talked about it some on Wednesday night. Somebody, I mean, anybody can come up and prophesy, quote unquote,
sure.
over you, or
sure.
I have a word from God for you.
Right.
And, you know, so many ministries and people have been led astray because they don't know the Word.
They don't know the Word.
Well, it's coming from an anointed pastor.
Right.
Well, it could be coming from his flesh just or her flesh just because they want something out of you.
That's what I was alluding to earlier, this rhetoric that happens from pulpits that is so hateful. Is not word based.
No.
It's to get a bigger offering, or it's to appeal to the masses that are also living in fear and hatred.
Mm-hmm.
The next song by the Katinas, Eagle's Wings, I wrote down a phrase here the last time I used this song. Come live in me, all my life take over. Isn't that what we're talking about,
Amen.
Pastor Jim?
Amen.
Woo!
Here I am waiting, abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you, yeah. Hide me in your love, bring me to thank you.
God, love that song. Don't you, Pastor Jim? Come live in me. All my life, take over. We're in Isaiah 55, if you just now joined us. We're in about verse 9 or 10 of Isaiah 55. I love the part here. Just as the rain and snow descend from the skies, don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry. And then here's the verse. Love it. So will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. You can read it in your translation there or any translation you want and comment. But I love this because if we had no rain or snow, if we had no moisture to hit the earth, we could not grow crops.
Right, right. Well,
they would burn up.
They would. Okay. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and does not return back there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void. I like that word, void.
Love the word
empty.
Void.
Empty. It shall not return to me empty without doing
Message
what it's
Bible,
supposed
Bible,
to.
Empty-handed. So empty, yeah.
But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper.
Yes, yes.
In the thing whereto I sent it.
Whoa.
Which means when God speaks a word,
yes,
it's going to happen.
Amen.
You know, he said it's going to happen. And that's, you know, that is an incredible promise.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
We think of creation. God said,
yes,
and it was.
And it was.
God said, and it was. There's the pattern. Hebrews says he formed the worlds.
Right.
By his word.
By his word.
He spoke them into existence.
And it's the same, he's saying here, when we are in the word of God and we're speaking what the word says about us, you know, that, let's just go with Psalm 29:11, which we just did. The Lord will strengthen his people. The Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. Okay, that you can take that verse, Psalm 29:11, take it to the bank and cash it in. Okay? Just like if somebody gives you a check for money and you take it to your bank and put it in the bank and it translates into dollars in your checking account, right? It's the same way with the word of God, right,
right.
PJ?
Exactly. Well, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
You know, what we say,
yes,
is our words are powerful, and we need, you know,
they
not
are.
Putting anybody under condemnation, but I just cringe when, you know, people say something
swear
really
words.
Negative.
Yeah.
Well, swear words,
yeah.
Something really negative.
Yeah.
And I try not to put myself under condemnation, because we all do that sometimes,
sure.
Unintentionally. But God says, speak my word.
Right.
You know, speak life.
Speak There's what that, the word says about your situation.
Was it Toby Mac song? Speak life.
Speak life. You exactly.
Know? And the best way to do that is speak the word. Speak the word into your situation.
That's right.
Because that's, you're putting God's activity, God's voice into that situation.
And you know, I think there are a lot of reasons why people don't do that. But I think one of it is the ignorance of the word. And they don't realize that there are so many helps out there now. And the one we use on Wednesday night for our prayer meeting is the prayer book, Prayers That Avail Much, by Jermaine Copeland. And when I opened a Christian bookstore in 1980 in Newcastle, Indiana, it was one of the first books I ordered and carried on the shelf. And at that time, that was part one. It was a little tiny, thin thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have that original one. But you know what?
A kind of a silvery white one. There
yeah.
was a blue one and a yellow one.
Right. And yes. And as those developed, and tell people what that is, and they can buy them at any bookstore or Amazon.
Yeah, it's a prayer book, and it's divided up. If you get the version we use as the 25th anniversary edition, it's like prayers for individual needs, prayers
yes.
for the needs of couples, prayers
right.
for the nations, prayers
right.
for people in your prayer group. And it's all scripture-based. You're speaking the word
into prayers against worry, fear, right. doubt, unbelief, all
terrorism.
That. Terrorism, exactly. Discouragement, all those things that we all face, or to get a job, or have a baby, or...
Right, sell real estate.
Sell real estate, exactly. All of those are in there, and they what that author has done is she's just pulled the verses straight out of the Bible, and she's used different translations, King James sometimes, The
amplified
Message sometimes,
message.
Amplified, yeah. NIV, New American Standard. She just brought them together, and it's probably one of the very best tools to cause this to happen.
Right. Well, and it's an easy way to pray.
That's right. The word.
And I mean, of course, you can speak the word, pray the word till you're blue in the face. If you don't, I mean, you have to believe the word,
right.
obviously.
Right.
And, you know, I think of Mary, the Virgin Mary.
Yes.
The angel spoke to her.
Yes.
He gave her some pretty amazing promises.
That's right.
And you brought this out one Advent season a few years back, which
right.
I had never seen. You know, the angel said, and most translations say, with God, nothing is impossible. But literally, it means not one word
right.
will fail.
Right.
You know, not one word will fail. And then Mary, of course, said, well, then be it done to me.
Yes.
According to your word. And that's what we need to say, Lord.
Exactly.
Be it done to me.
Amen.
Your word says this, behold, I am the bond slave of the Lord. Be
yes.
it done to me according to your
yes.
word.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, we can expect to see these things happen.
Well, I think that when people get hung up on, I don't hear from God, I never hear from God, I really think a big part of that is they're not in the word. They're not reading the word. They're not getting the principles down on the inside of them for themselves. They may catch an occasional sermon, or they may, you know, occasionally pick up their Bible. But if you're not seeking God with all your heart, that's why I love Isaiah 55. In fact, it starts Isaiah 55:1. Hey, all you guys that are thirsty, come to the water. Come to the water and drink, you know, and the water is the word. You're thirsty, you want something more in your life, come to the water and drink.
Sorry, I was having a Maranatha flashback.
Woo,
there.
Yeah.
Not marijuana. Maranatha. The
Not
old,
marijuana, no.
The old old song that was based on this
on that's,
eons
yeah.
ago.
Right.
Yeah, but that's true. And I mean, I love the way King James says it. Ho, everyone that thirsteth.
Right, yes.
Come ye to the water.
Come ye.
You know, that's so cool because, yeah, if you're thirsty, Jesus said, come to me and drink.
Yes, yes.
Come to me and drink, and
Amen.
I'll give you living water.
Amen.
And, you know, even if you have no money, you don't have to pay God for this
right.
stuff. Come buy and eat.
Right.
And he says, you know, come buy wine and milk without money and without price.
Right.
Why do you spend money for that which is not bread?
Right.
Why do we think we have to, and bread, again, symbolic of the word.
Yes.
Why do you spend money for that which is not, or spend your time on that which is not going to feed you?
Right.
Why not do that on that which, and I love this, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Your
right.
labor for, you're laboring for something that's not going to satisfy.
Exactly.
And he says, hearken diligently to me and eat that which is good. Eat the bread.
Right.
Eat the word. And let your soul delight itself in fatness,
right?
In oil, in the anointing. You know, that is so good.
Let's stay right there, but I got to go back. And I woke up and heard this in my spirit last night, in the middle of the night. And here it is, what I heard. Oh, it's in the NIV. And it's Psalm 1. And Psalm 1 really emphasizes how important this is. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. I'm in the NIV. But his delight, verse 2 of Psalm 1, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I love those first three verses of the book of Psalms. Amazing. we're like a tree. You know that old song that we used to say, I'm like a tree, like a tree.
Like a green, yeah. Like a tree.
And we are like a tree when we are taking the word in, right? And we're meditating on what the word has to say about it. And when it's our delight. When it's our delight.
And there's this whole theme throughout Psalms. This was brought to me, too, about the one who trusts in God will be like a tree planted in the house of God.
Psalm 92.
Not worry about when famine comes or lack, because our roots go deep.
Amen.
And that's what it's talking about here. By meditating on the word, our roots go deep. And we don't have to worry about what we see going on around us.
Right.
Because we're grounded in the word.
And we know that we're trusting in God and what his promises are to us. And we can take that to the bank. Trusting the word of God, take it to the bank.
The end of Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, those who act on my words are going to be like the house built on a rock.
Amen.
The storms came. And we know we talked about that kind of often on this whole time about the storms that come. Jesus said, it's not going to matter. The foundation is sure. But if you build it on sand, on anything else but the foundation of the word of God, it's going to get washed away.
And so many people build their lives on hearsay.
On hearsay.
On what what they hear everywhere, Facebook, TV, whatever. And it may or may not be true.
Facebook can be a curse. Yeah, Facebook can be a curse.
Sometimes it's not even true,
The things that are posted, just as a warning to all of our listeners.
They're not always true.
Check them out.
Exactly.
I know one time I specifically Googled something because it just sounded too stupid to be true. And, of course, it was false. It was false. The story was not...
Too stupid to be true.
Well, it was.
And, I love it.
You know, but people were using it for political fodder.
Exactly.
And I posted to my friend that had posted this. I said, I checked. This story isn't even true.
Right. So, you know, in a time where we are so immersed with intelligence, communication, with information, that's the word I wanted to use. When we have information, more information than we know what to do with, we have to put some prioritizing in our lives and make God's word the final authority to settle all questions that confront us. And that's in the word also. Make God's word the final authority. And I think, Pastor Jim, a lot of people don't know how to do that, and they're too lazy to do it. I mean, that's a big... I just said a very strong thing there, but I honestly believe it after all the years of pastoring I've been doing since I was 22. I'm telling you, people are complacent, and they know they need to read their Bibles. They know they need to learn this stuff, but I'll do it another day.
Right, right, exactly. And I mentioned this, I think, last Wednesday. If I'm, you know, I try and start my mornings before I go to work in the Word.
Yes.
And because that, you know, my little prayer time, a little Word time, that just kind of sets the course.
Sure.
That leads me down the right fork in the road for the day.
Right.
And I know on those days when I don't, if I don't take that time, or especially, I mean, it's very rare anymore, but there have been times when I'll go 2, 3, 4 days. And it's like, I just...
Oh, no, you just feel it. Oh.
Yeah. Well, what's that old saying?
I so understand.
7 days without the word makes one weak.
Weak. W-E-A-K.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So people were saying that Isaiah 55 here is so true, that the words of God that come out of our mouths, that have come from God's mouth and written down to prophets and teachers and pastors and missionaries that are found in this word of God, the words of God are so powerful. They have the ability to change our circumstances from death to life, from poverty to abundance, from brokenness to healing, from sorrow and sadness to moments of joy, which we're going to talk about here after this song. And the word of God is able to do that. And on a day in history where we have seen the worst American massacre ever, we have to draw our strength from God. because otherwise we're going to be very, very discouraged and concerned and fearful.
Amen. And I was just thinking, we need to put our trust in God.
Yes.
Rather than in man. And, you know, I forget which prophet it was, but very blunt said, blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Cursed are those who trust in princes.
Right.
You know, it's, we can't trust in anything else but
the word of God
in these days, because anything else is not going to get us through.
Oh, amen. Amen. And so if you're one of those like Pastor Jim and I today who are very upset about the events of last night, are very saddened, you know, it's horrific, it's horrible. It makes us want to crawl in a hole and just not come out, you know, with depression and anxiety and fear and all of that. We're not going to do that. We're not giving into to that. We instead are going to dig deeper into the Word of God, and we are going to challenge you by this show today to do the very same thing. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. And in order to do that, you got to find out where that is, and it's right here in the Scripture. And you got to be changed from the inside out by the group Hillsong.
Should I stumble again? Still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine well on this place. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from inside, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from inside
God from the inside out. My heart and my soul. I give you control, Lord. Amen. That's our prayer. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we just come to you right now. We have been blessed by these songs. We've been blessed so much by the way that you continue to remind us that time's a-wasting, and we need to get into your presence and get into your word like never before, that we need to appropriate the peace that comes from you alone and from your word, and that you can supernaturally give us peace and strengthen us when we're going through these difficult times in our lives. Lord, we trust you. God, you're a mighty God. We just thank you right now that our listeners are turning to you because they desire that strength and that peace through difficult times in their lives and on a moment-by-moment and daily basis. Lord, we need you. We're a people that are hungry for your presence in our lives. We're a people that need you to speak to us. We want to make the right decisions at the forks in our lives. We want to learn your voice. We want to know when we open up your word and we read something that just seems to prick our hearts, that that's your voice and you're giving us direction, peace, strength, hope for the journey ahead. Lord, we pray for our listeners wherever they are scattered around this globe, whenever they might hear this show. Let your word get deep within them and give them a renewed desire to walk in your presence, to let you, the potter, mold them and make them and fill them up with you. Lord, that is our desire, Pastor Jim and I. And Lord, we just ask that you cause that desire to be birthed today in our listeners, that they will desire you like never before, that they will come out of complacency, fear, anger, hatred, whatever it might be, and that they will turn to you, the giver of life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. From the inside out, that's how we have to be changed, isn't it?
Well, we kind of touched on that earlier. You can have all the externals right.
You can look good and be religious and go to church and put on your hat.
Like what Jesus did with the Pharisees.
That's right.
The religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees. On the outside, they look great because they wore their little phylacteries, little boxes with scripture, you know, on their foreheads, on their arms.
Right.
They made pretense. They made long prayers and all that. But again, if you, and you know, that's, I'm not saying that's wrong, but if that's all there is,
something's wrong.
You know, you can go to church.
Right.
And because I did for years.
Right. Sure.
And sang the hymns and, you know, all that stuff. And like I said, I even preached at least one sermon before I got saved. You can do all that and not know God.
Right.
And not really have a relationship with him. So it's not based on kind of like that Casting Crowns song. It's not because of who I am, but because of what he did. It's not because of what I did, but because of who he is.
That's right.
You know, it's, I can't earn my righteousness. None of us can. Isaiah says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags.
Amen.
Anything we try to do, it's going to be flawed because,
yes,
you know what, people, we're flawed.
That's right.
Because of the fall, when Adam sinned, we became flawed.
Exactly.
And we can try our best, but our best will never be good enough. And all that's going to lead to is frustration.
That's right.
And probably getting mad at God. You know, right. Why did you, you know, you make me do all these things? No, all God does. You know, John wrote in his gospel, these things are written so that you might believe, and that by believing in Jesus, you would believe on the name of his son.
Amen.
And that by believing, you would have eternal life.
That's exactly why.
It's not, John didn't say, these things are written so that you'll say the right prayers, wear the right clothes, do the right things, and then you'll have eternal life.
No.
It's believing in Jesus.
Believing, that's it, dear listeners, that's it. And so when you do believe, you spend time in the Word because you know that no word of God's returns to him void without accomplishing what it was sent to do.
Exactly.
So you speak the Word, and then in verse 12 of Isaiah 55, you go out with joy. Because that's what the Word does to you. It just causes the joy on such a difficult day for America. Seriously, we have joy because God is going to see us through the families of these victims through. God is going to be there for every one of us as we process all of this. And we can, as we get in the Word and concentrate our time, spending time with God, we'll go out with joy and be led forth by peace.
and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before
they
you.
They will.
And the trees of the field will clap their hands.
Yes, they will.
You know, that is that, you know, people think we're crazy when we talk that way. But, you know, it says, you know, you have turned my mourning into dancing.
That's right.
And that's not being callous. God knows there's a process to work through the mourning process. But eventually,
you'll get to
he'll
this.
He'll turn your mourning into dancing. You'll put off Amen. Your sackcloth if you know the one true God, if you get Amen. In his word. You know, it's just amazing.
Well, you know, I told you I woke up last night, and this is what I heard. And we used to sing this a lot at our church in Indiana. Go, we'll go out with joy and be led forth by peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you, and there'll be right.
Yeah, you shall go out with joy.
That's it, right there.
Forth with peace.
Right, and then it comes down here, and it says the trees of the field will clap their hands. And you know, last night, then immediately my next thought after I was this verse was coming into my heart. The next verse was in Psalm 92, that will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in our season. Our leaf will not wither. That's Psalm 1. Our leaf will not wither, and whatsoever we do shall prosper. That's Psalm 1. But Psalm 92 says that will be like a green olive tree planted in the house of the Lord. So, and it also says many places it will be oaks of righteousness. That's in Isaiah 61, will be oaks of righteousness. So trees, a lot of times, are people, people that are dedicated to God and wanting mm-hmm. to be everything he wants us to be, will be like a tree planted by the river of water, bringing forth our fruit in our season. Our leaf will not wither, and whatsoever we do shall prosper. Psalm 1, verse 3.
Which is, I mean, what a, I mean, these are the promises that are in God's word. These are the promises that are in the word that,
yes,
like you said, you can take that to the bank.
You can.
You know, we can
take
we
this
can
to
bank,
the bank
on these promises.
Yes, we can.
Believe we can trust in these promises.
Amen.
We can know,
right?
Because you and I and so many other people, we've seen this work
yes,
in our lives.
Of course.
We have seen these.
We're not just talking, you know, out of our knees right now here
right.
Or anything else. You know what I'm saying? We are talking the truth because we've lived it.
We have
live
lived
it and we continually live it
right.
on a daily basis. And you can count on that from this ministry because every one of us that are a part of the radio team walk with the Lord on a daily basis. We trust God. We are in the Word. We trust what the Word says about us. And, what your says on the back of your shirt.
Right, on my shirt, where the Word of God
right.
brings healing and
restoration
to hurting lives. I mean,
that's what
we
we're
believe
about.
That. That's what we're about, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration. That's what we're about. And, you know, we can hold on to our hurt. We can hold on to our injuries. But it's the Word of God that brings that healing and restoration
Amen.
To hurting lives.
Amen.
And that's, you know, that's our motto.
That's it. That's what
motto.
We're all about.
We are about the Word. We believe
yes.
that the Word works.
And the Word works mightily in us.
Mm-hmm.
And in the situation in Orlando, there's a TV on here in the control room where I am, and they run these little news things across, and it says at 6 o'clock tonight there will be a moment of silence ordered by our governor, Rick Scott, in memory of these victims and this whole situation. So if you're in some other part of the country when you hear this at a later time, you can still remember all of this that's been going on. And the most important thing is to pray for the families and the friends
yeah.
of those that have been slain today. You know, the best tribute we can do is to help others find the truth of God's word and the peace, like this show has been about, the peace that God can bring no matter how difficult life is sometimes.
Well, and, you know, the peace that passes understanding.
Amen. And it does.
Well, mount guard over your heart.
Amen.
It's that peace that we can't even understand why
exactly.
we feel peaceful sometimes. But I like the, you know, it mounts guard. It stands guard over
Amen.
Your heart.
Yes, it does.
And so not only is it an umpire, it's
right.
a militia.
That's right.
You know, standing
and it's
guard
peace
over your heart.
Right there.
And that's so important that we
Amen.
That we grasp that we get a hold of that peace.
Right.
Because, you know, as we head and, you know, I believe we're rocketing toward the end of the age.
Sure.
And
There will be more situations. There will be more painful things, yes.
And unless we can live in the peace of God, unless we can grasp that, well, the Jesus said, because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of the many, the agape of the many, he's talking about Christians, will grow cold.
Yeah.
We can't let that happen.
No. We got to be on guard. Stand watch over your heart.
Amen.
And seek the Lord while he may be found.
Amen.
You know? And seek peace and pursue it. Okay? And realize that it's the peace of God that is your umpire, settling with all finality the issues that come up.
Amen.
And, you know, the whole thing that we've been trying to say today is, people, we live in a godless world. We live in a land of hatred a lot of times, and a lot of awful things have happened, especially in the last few hours. But we have to turn to God for our source, for our strength, for our peace, and for our comfort and consolation during these difficult times. So we encourage you to do that. And we encourage you to go to our website, bohmglobal.com. Listen to some of our other shows. We've got tons of great stuff on our website for you to listen to. Also, catch our Thursday night show, Go Yard, which is with me and Dr. Angel Falzoni, and it's a show about hitting a home run in life. It's a life coaching show, 6:06 p.m. every Thursday night. Catch it right here on this station. Also, you can hear this show again this Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern, on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, followed by our Go Yard show at noon Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. As always, it's not far to Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Jim. Great show.
Anytime.
It's not far to Jesus. He is right here with us. We encourage you to listen again next week, as we will be live again in the studio. Pastor Jim, for Pastor Jim and for me, Pastor Marsh, I couldn't remember who I was there for a second. We just glad you're listening today, and welcome back next week. God bless you. Have a great week.
Safely to his side. There's no need for you. My dog.